It's an honor to be with you today. We're going to continue our study on 2020 vision. I suspect all of us have had an eye exam and we've had to look through the lenses and they change the focus and we have those embarrassing times. We can't read the chart. And if you have eyes like I do, you need a little correction help. Well, I want to make a suggestion. I think we need some spiritual vision correction. We're either nearsighted or farsighted, or we just fail to recognize what's happening around us. And the purpose of the Spirit of God in our lives is to help us understand our world from a God perspective. If we'll open our heart to the Holy Spirit and His help, it will change our vision and cause us to have more productive, fruitful lives for the kingdom of God. Grab your Bible, get a notepad, and most importantly, open your heart. Abraham knew his faith was greater than me, myself, and I. Our faith has become too self-centered. It's too focused on what's in it for me in the moment. It's almost been entirely co-opted by that idea. Now, I believe God wants to help us in the moment, and He does it in the most remarkable ways. But God will invite you, if you're willing to cooperate, on a journey that will impact the generations who follow you. Amen, Pastor Allen. I'll sign up for a little bit of that journey. God is moving in the earth. God is moving in the earth. Look at the next segment, Joel chapter 2. It's a promise from the prophet Joel. Time was limited. I couldn't give you the whole prophecy. He said, afterward, after what? After God restores the Jewish people to the land of Israel. After He restores them from everything that has been destroyed, taken away from them, the suffering that they incur. God said, after that, I will pour out My Spirit on all people, not just the Jewish people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on My servants, both men and women, I will pour out My Spirit in those days. God's going to give us visions. We're going to be able to see in a new way. We'll have insight and understanding beyond just our physical eyes. We're going to need something more than our five senses to navigate the world that's before us. That prophecy from Joel is picked up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is poured out. The disciples that look more like Keystone Cops or Three Stooges than world changers are transformed in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon them and they begin to have an insight, an understanding that simply was not present prior to that. They understand more about who Jesus is and what He's accomplished. They have a new boldness and a new courage. They have a new willingness to stand before the people who are threatening their very existence and say, we will not stop. All of that is unleashed. That transformation happens in the second chapter of the book of Acts. I want to read you just a portion. A crowd gathers, and Peter begins to speak to them. And Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men aren't drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. They're behaving in a way that's caused the crowd to say, well, you know, there's something wrong with them. They're too happy. They're too enthusiastic. They act like they're drunk. I don't believe Peter just manufactured that. That's not a great introduction. He's responding to the accusations that are being bantered around in the crowd. And he said, no, it's a little early for them. Oh, come on. You can laugh at that at church. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and then he quotes Joel 2. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. They'll have an awareness and an insight. Even on My servants, men and women, I'll pour out My Spirit. They'll prophesy. Prophecy is a God perspective. You're going to have understanding, insight, awareness, a perspective of what God is doing. Folks, we need that. There is no solution for us beyond that. I gave you several passages from the book of Daniel. Daniel is a young man when we meet him, and God gives him a very unique ability. He gives him an awareness, a spiritual awareness that causes Daniel to become a pivotal figure in the history of the Jewish people and the people of God. In Daniel chapter 1, Jerusalem's been destroyed. The temple is gone. The Babylonians have conquered it. The Jewish people have been humiliated. The temple has been plundered. And now Daniel is a foreigner living in a foreign city. He's serving in the court of a pagan king. He has every reason under the sun to be angry and rebellious, to be sullen, to be broken. but he's not. In fact, he's made a public statement that he intends to honor God with his life. And I just gave you the summary statement of God's response to him. It says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. God gave Daniel a different kind of vision. He said, I'm going to give you an insight, an ability beyond your physical eyes, something you won't get from a book, Daniel. You've honored me, and now I'm going to bless you. I think it's worth noting, at least in passing, that those four young men that are discussed there, the first three found their way into a fiery furnace. And Daniel finds his way into a den of lions. So the blessing of God, the provision of God, did not eliminate them from the conflicts of life. And I don't want you to be confused by that. Because sometimes when life is more difficult than we want it to be, when the challenges that come to us were unanticipated and they're very unwelcome, we are tempted to imagine that God has abandoned us, that his promises weren't good, that he's not trustworthy. That's not the message of Scripture. Before the story's complete, all four of those young men have triumphs in their stories, but they have some very challenging pathways to walk. By the time we get to Daniel chapter 2, there's a death sentence that's been pronounced over them. All the wise men of the entire empire are to be murdered because the king has made a request and nobody can fulfill it. He had a dream that terrified him, and he's asked for his wise men to interpret the dream, but he can't remember the dream. And they've said to him, you're not being fair. Nobody could be asked to interpret a dream when they don't know what the dream is. And he said, I may not be fair, but tomorrow you'll be dead. And the message comes to Daniel. And there's a little note there. I just put it in the second chapter. Daniel says to the king, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he's shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dreams and the visions that passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And then he tells him his dream and the interpretation. If you're following the narrative, God put a message in the mind of Nebuchadnezzar while he was asleep. And it terrified him to the point that he wanted the insight and the understanding. And when none of the people in his service were able to provide it, he was desperate enough to listen to a Hebrew slave. And Daniel uses the opportunity to give glory to the Lord. Sometimes when we're standing in difficult places, there's a God opportunity in the midst of it. If we can lift our eyes a little bit and lift the heaviness of our heart, and we can push back on the fear and the anxiety and the uncertainty and say, God, I believe you're a God who delivers. I'm intrigued by the statement that Daniel made, that there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Do we have that kind of courage to be willing to stand when our lives are in jeopardy and say, there's a God in heaven? We hear it echoed in his three friends when they're standing before the king, when they won't bow to his statue. They said, the God we serve can deliver us from your hand. But if he doesn't, we will never bow to your statue. You hear that same thing in Daniel in chapter 2. You plan to execute me tonight, and you may do that yet, but there's a God in the heavens who knows everything. Daniel had a confidence in something beyond just his physical eyes. We've got to cultivate a bit more of that. We've got to open our hearts to that.
Folks, we are not going to outthink evil, outorganize evil, outwork evil. Amen. We're going to need it. The only thing evil will yield to is a power greater than itself. And that's not our strength or our collective strength. That power will only come to us from the power of God. And that delivery system is his Spirit.
Well, the purpose of this book is to help you and me make peace with the person of the Holy Spirit, to welcome him into our lives so we don't have to hold him at arm's length anymore. He's your helper. He's your advocate. It's the power of God present to help you in the midst of all the challenges of your life. The Holy Spirit will never make you do something you don't want to. You don't have to be afraid of him. In fact, you want to get to know him. You probably know Jesus and you have an imagination of God the Father, but we need to know the person of the Holy Spirit just as well. That's what this book is intended to do. It's really a how-to guide to make friends with the person of the Holy Spirit. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Enjoy the book.
You may know a lot about God the Father and Jesus, his Son, but who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? And how can we access his power, wisdom, and strength? Pastor Allen's book, Unleashing the Power of the Holy Spirit, will introduce you to God's Spirit in a new way. This fast-reading book contains the transcripts of Pastor Allen's sermon series on the Holy Spirit. Inside, you'll find helpful, biblical insight and practical steps you can take to more fully welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. You can request Unleashing the Power of the Holy Spirit when you give $30 or more today at allenjackson.com or by calling 1-800-880-5102. We're excited to send this book to you. We know it will help you understand the Holy Spirit even better, so you can experience His transforming power even more.
Getting the latest messages from Pastor Allen has never been easier with the Allen Jackson Ministries app. You can watch and share your favorite television broadcasts whenever you'd like. Plus, take part in any of the live stream services from World Outreach Church. If you're on the go, listen to the latest podcast and radio programs as you go about your day. We want to make sure you have tools to help you grow in your faith. Find useful resources like devotionals, daily prayers, and small group studies designed to help you in your spiritual life. Plus, you can join us in our daily Bible reading plan. Read it on the app or let the app read it to you. You can even partner with us in the ministry to help make our messages available for free in as many places as possible. Wherever you get your apps, just search Allen Jackson Ministries and look for this icon. Download the app and be encouraged by the word today.
Look in Daniel chapter 10. There's really a part of vision in every chapter of the book of Daniel, but I went to chapter 10 because I think it's so profound. In the third year of Cyrus the king, there's been an empire change, so there's a change of leadership. A revelation was given to Daniel. He didn't have a single revelation. He had multiple revelations, time after time after time. He was trustworthy. God could trust him. You see, who you are when nothing dramatic is happening is the fuel for being prepared when a dramatic response is needed. Don't imagine that the routine of life is bad. Don't imagine that being responsible and faithful to those seemingly small tasks, it means God has overlooked you. If you will stand faithfully in the place God has asked you to stand right now, He has a trusted vessel when He needs someone to receive an insight or an understanding. If we're unfaithful in the small things, if we're sloppy with the day-to-day, we don't have time to read our Bible, we don't have time to serve, we don't lead generous lives, we ignore the things of God, then we're not trustworthy vessels. Daniel has a revelation. Its message was true and concerned a great war, and the understanding of the message came to him in a vision. Daniel said, at that time, I mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Daniel has an insight and a revelation, but it only arrives after 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. 3 weeks of self-sacrifice. 3 weeks of focused effort. See, I think we imagine God should drop the vision into our heart during the commercial break while we're watching our favorite program. Or at the very least, He should give it to us while we're in the car on the way to or from church. After all, we went to church. And you may have driven 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Certainly that deserves some kind of spiritual revelation. Daniel has fasted and sought the Lord for 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the river, the Tigris, and I looked up, and before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. He's an amazing representation. Look at verse 7. And I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me didn't see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and they hid themselves. His friends couldn't see it, but they understood something supernatural was happening, and they all ran and hid. Daniel's left alone. It's going to take a kind of courage to follow the Lord we haven't had to have before. I was left alone gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. And then I heard him speaking. And as I listened, I fell into a deep sleep. Look at the message. It's verse 11. The angel said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. 3 weeks of seeking the Lord before Daniel has the understanding that he's necessary. We're going to have to begin to seek God with a new kind of discipline and a new kind of determination. You know, we understand what it means to work on a business opportunity. I'm required to do that. There's some projects I've been working on for well over a year. It's required all sorts of help and effort and documents and communication. It'll be a wonderful victory when it's completed, but it's not accomplished easily. It's taken days and weeks and months, unfortunately. We understand that if we take our children, if we're going to help them become involved in athletics, we're going to watch dozens and dozens and dozens of ball games. We think it's part of the journey. We find a way to celebrate it. We make friends at the ball fields. We learn to enjoy being outdoors. We find a way to put a positive face on it. Will you allow me to suggest that we have to cultivate a will to seek God with diligence? Will you consider it? Will you put that back into the bucket of those simple prayers I've asked you to consider? God, if I could seek you with a little different determination or a different kind of diligence, if I could make room for you in my life in a new way, would you help me to understand that? See, what I find, and I find it in my own heart, I want God to do dramatically new things, but I want to keep doing what I've always done. I'd like to see evil vanquished and the kingdom of God celebrated. I'd like to see prayer in our schools. I'd like to see truth in our churches. I'd like to see public figures filled with integrity and honesty. I'd like to see people serve our communities and our cities and our states and our nations with the good of the people as their first interest. I'd like to see violence vanquished. There's so many things I would like to see. But I'd like to see it while I'm eating ice cream. But if it requires me to make a change or to make an adjustment or to reorder my schedule or to forfeit an opportunity and use that time and effort to seek the Lord, my interest becomes to diminish a bit because I did that once and nothing happened when I got done with it. Or maybe you did it for 6 months, or maybe you did it for 2 years and then you were betrayed by someone or disappointed by a Christian. Please don't let expressions of ungodliness or wickedness or darkness diminish your determination to honor the Lord. The truth is the body of Christ we are the wounded. I'm sure I should remember the artist, but there's a picture from the American Revolution. They have the American flag, and I remember the fife player. He's got the bandage around his head. They're all wounded and lame, and you realize it's a triumphant story, but the people that are celebrating the triumph have clearly been through a battle. It's the way I see the church. And I don't want to diminish the reality of the wounds you have. What I want to submit to you is that they haven't removed you from the contest. And if the pain was so significant that you stepped to the sidelines for a season, we're going to pray in just a moment. I want to invite you back onto the field. One last passage. I got a minute. It's in Acts 13. The church has begun to take the Jesus story around the Mediterranean. And in every city where they go, they find people who are willing to accept it. And in almost every city where they go, they find opposition. There's often riots. There are frequently arrests. Sometimes there's physical suffering. It's a challenging story. It's not like they just have the Roman road salvation tracts that they're passing out and everybody cheers. When we get to Acts 13, Paul has found another challenge. And there's a person opposing him, a very powerful person. His name is Elymas. He opposed them and he tried to turn the proconsul, the political ruler of the region, from the faith. And Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the phrase I want you to highlight or circle or at least remember. Paul filled with the Spirit of God. He's given an insight and understanding. He's given a response beyond his training as a Pharisee. He's given a response that's beyond just his experience. The Spirit of God prompts Paul to say something. And I want to draw your attention to it. He said he looked straight at this man and he said, "You're a child of the devil. You're an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? May I submit to you, those are not warm, fuzzy words of inclusivity. Paul didn't look at him and go, well, bless your heart. I understand you aren't trained in the ways of Scripture. I recognize that you didn't walk with Jesus. I can tell by your accent that you don't understand the Jewish people and who we are and what we believe. You've never read the Torah. He didn't say any of those things. In fact, he gave him no quarter whatsoever. He looked at him, he said, you're a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right, and you're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? But Paul didn't stop there. He didn't stop with words. He said, now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind. And for a time, you'll be unable to see the light of the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness came over, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed. Duh! He was amazed. It says at the teaching about the Lord, but I think he was amazed at the demonstration of the power of God. It's a harsh response, and it's a very difficult consequence. And I would submit to you, it is not a bridge-building dialogue, nor an expression of tolerance. Paul recognized the opposition and the threat it posed to an untold number of people being able to hear the gospel. And he was not tolerant of that. Is it possible we have been tolerant of evil impeding the purposes of God? Is it possible that in our passivity that we have been tolerant while we have sacrificed our children? I don't want you to be angry, and you don't need to respond with belligerence and absolutely not with violence, but we need to be awakened to the story that we've been given. We've been taking our cues from the secularists. They've been defining to us how Christians should respond, and we have nodded passively and said, thank you. May I submit, we should take our cues from the Spirit of God. That he should direct us and he should lead us. We need his help. I thank God that he's awakening his church, that he's called us to this season. And I assure you that he has everything we need to lead triumphant lives in the midst of what is happening in our earth. We can see our children delivered from darkness and ungodliness and evil. We can see our schools released from the grip of some of the things that seem to have taken hold of them. If the church can be awakened. Amen. I brought you a prayer, but I don't want to pray that with you. I mean, it's a good prayer. I prayed it several times today already. But I would rather say a prayer for you. And I want to give you an invitation. If you're here tonight and you need a miracle, that could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be somebody in your family. By miracle, I mean you have a need of an outcome that you can't produce on your own. It would require God's intervention for the outcome to be acceptable, and you would know God had done it. If you're one of those people, I'm just going to ask you to stand wherever you happen to be seated. So we can dispel one myth that people who come to church don't have problems. If you can't see us, two-thirds of us here, three-fourths of us here are standing. And it's not just because the sermon was so long. But we're going to invite God into the midst of this. The rest of you that are seated near these people, maybe you want to stand with them. Perhaps you put a hand on their shoulder, just their shoulder. If you don't know them, tell them who you are. If they won't talk to you, don't let them touch you. I mean that. I don't like strangers praying for me. But we stand together. You know, how God brings deliverance is up to him. If you have a need for physical healing, if God wants to bring that healing through medicine, yay, God. Most of us would rather not be involved with that. We'd rather have something that we imagine is less painful or less costly. But what we're really asking God for is to bring health to our bodies. If you're in turmoil, we need the God of creation to bring peace to us. If your family is divided, only God can change a human life. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its truth and authority and power. Lord, I thank you that you created us with the senses we need to interact with this physical world. But I thank you that you've also given us eyes of faith and understanding hearts and ears that can discern, that we might cooperate with your purposes. We ask you to forgive us when we have been distracted or disinterested. We turn our faces to you tonight. Lord, we pray for one another. There are those standing amongst us with great needs. Some have great physical challenges. Lord, we ask you to bring life to their bodies. Others are facing great stresses, or they need wisdom for the decisions before them. We ask you, Father, to give them insight and understanding far beyond training or education or life experience. Lord, every need, nothing is hidden from you, but we lift them before you now, and I pray that your power and your authority would be released in our lives by the power of your Spirit. That where there are unclean spirits and unholy things standing, opposing your purposes in our lives, that they'll be turned back tonight in Jesus' name. That you'll bring freedom and deliverance and restoration and renewal. We praise you for it. Lord, where there's been anger and resentment and bitterness, may its authority over our lives be broken. May we be willing to forgive and to release. Lord, where we have suffered rejection and we have felt isolated and alone and on the outside, I pray that that spirit would be broken over our lives and we would know that we have been accepted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I praise you for it tonight. We give you glory and honor and thanks that you're a God who heals and delivers and restores and renews. We praise you for it, and we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.